Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarecourt. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart. To encourage and inspire you along your journey, we will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big, scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey guys, I am so excited to be back with you this week. I gotta say, today's episode is packed with some yummy goodness. And if you are a business owner or are in the processing of dreaming and scheming that business idea, then you know how easy it is to fall into that shiny object syndrome. Whether it's the latest and greatest podcast mic, guilty, the overly expensive doorknobs for your build out, or the wide range versus one quality product. We've all been seduced by this building big instead of building small. Today's guest, Alina Vaughn, is such a great example of finding contentment in the slow roll and growing your business wisely. As a professional pastry chef, Alina spent years paying her dues, from working at the Ritz-Carlton to opening her humble home-based bakery. She took her time growing her skill and learning her industry. If this dates us at all, I actually met Alina back when she was working out of her home bakery, and I hadn't even started my business yet. I was still working a full-time job. But I felt so deeply connected when I met her to her infectious personality. And after trying her amazing cookies, I decided to take a leap of faith and ask if she needed any help with her branding and website. So flash forward to 2018, after seeing Alina quickly outgrow her home bakery, her dream of owning a brick and mortar bakery finally came into fruition. AKA the beautiful and widely successful Triple Crown Bakery right here in Franklin, Tennessee. Today, we'll hear Alina's startup story and how she learned that small steps lead to big wins. We'll discuss the power behind small business to small business relationships and how building any amount of community in our business is our key to our mental health. We talk about Alina's secret to stability and contentment, and how she's released all worry from her business mindset. Like I said, this episode is packed with goodies and tips that just blew me away. And I personally think that the way that she chooses to celebrate starting small is a reminder that we all really need to hear right now, especially in our world right now of bigger, better, faster, more. Okay, my anxiety is already through the roof even talking about that. But Alina chooses to celebrate starting small, and I feel like we could all really learn from that. So with that, here is my interview with the very talented pastry chef and owner, Alina Vaughn.
I bet working for you is probably like the best thing ever.
Well, nobody ever leaves.
That's yeah, so great.
Unless they go, you know, off to college or something. But yeah, we've had all my girls I've had almost since the beginning, so.
Oh, my goodness.
I treat people the way I would want to be treated. I've worked for some tyrants. You know, why have people come into work every day unhappy? They're not going to perform for you if you're not nice back to them. People walk out. They don't care. If you don't care about them, they don't care about you. So that's always been my mantra, is like, I'm going to be a different kind of boss. I'm not going to expect things that are impossible. I'm not going to, you know, dismiss people's needs, like having to go to the dentist or having to go to the doctor or, you know, their kid is sick. Yeah, absolutely. Go pick up. We'll figure it out. So I try to be the cool boss. Sometimes I don't even like being the boss. I'm like, can somebody else be the boss? You know,
yeah.
Like if there's a disgruntled customer, you know, like, I don't want to be the boss.
Yeah, you take it. I did the last one.
Yeah. Well, and I have a great girl that works for me, Megan, and she is kind of the manager, and I'm the yes man and she's the no man because she knows what our limits are. I always want to, you know, make it happen. I'm the dreamer. And I make so many friends with our customers that I don't want to let them down. So if they come to us for a last minute order or, you know, they want us something special that we don't normally do, I'm always like, oh, sure. And Megan's like, no, we're not doing that. So
yes.
Especially around the holidays, Megan's like, you are not answering the phone. Because she knows if somebody asks for something, I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's good to have a gatekeeper.
It is.
Either way.
Yeah.
I used to have one and I just like... no client was allowed to talk to me until they like went through her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm a 2 on the Enneagram. So I'm like, I am going to say yes and people please till I'm blue in the face and like with an IV in on my deathbed. So it's like, oh, thank you.
Well, because as a business owner, everybody wants to speak to the owner and you'll never get anything done if you have to stop every 2 seconds for, you know, this salesperson or this customer. So I'm always at the bakery, but I'm rarely at the bakery, according to my...
Wink.
So they answer the phone, they see who it is. If it's not something that's like, that can't be handled over email, then Elena's not here right now. Can I take a message? So
seriously.
Yeah.
Well, because you're running the business and you're the main person actually making all of the things.
Yeah, I'm just one of the girls making the stuff. So it's not like I'm sitting up in my office waiting for the phone to ring.
Sipping wine and with your feet up on the desk.
Wish. Maybe someday. That's my goal. You know, just to stop in and check on the business.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
I don't think that would work because a lot of people do come in to see me or just all the girls. And it's just a fun, friendly atmosphere that I think would be lost, you know, if I didn't come in or, you know, we didn't have the camaraderie that we do.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the heart part that we've always like just touched on, which is, it makes you so different than other bakeries because it's your personality and the people you choose to invest in, which is so great.
Yeah.
And that's how we met, right? Through, I was thinking about that. We're talking about that before you got here and I'm like, it's been so long. I think that was one of my first ever freelance projects that I'd ever done.
But how did we meet?
I think at the fair.
Was that the fair?
I think I bought some cookies from you and I got your business card and then I stalked you.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
Did you email and say, did you need any help or?
Yeah. And I think I was still working a full-time job. So this was like way before any of this. Oh my gosh.
And that helped. Like if anybody's out there and is a business owner and needs more business. Like I very rarely say, you know what I need? I need somebody to design my website. It's not till like somebody reaches out to me and is like, hey, I design websites. I'd love to help you out. And then it's like, yeah, you know what? That would be great. Cause I don't have time to think about that. So that does help, you know? We do a lot of stuff with people that have reached out and said, hey, I think this would fit really well with you guys. And so, yeah, that's something to think of when you have a small business or just to get your word out.
Yeah.
Reach
and
out
you're
to
turning
people.
Your customers into vendors.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, they bought something from you and you're helping them back. And
that's
you're
right.
just small businesses supporting small businesses, which is like... Thank you, world.
Well, even like on social media, like Nosh Boards of Franklin, she liked our page. I liked her page. We'd start commenting on the different pages, you know, posts. And then it was like, hey, I got an idea. And then that's how we started carrying their Nosh Boards in our bakery is because I was like, you know, I think people would like to have a little something in the bakery or take with them. And she had this service. So we kind of are scratching each other's backs, and
that's
it
awesome.
Works. Yeah.
Partnerships like mm-hmm. that. That's everything you said is like your relationship with your employees, your relationship with your customers, yep. your relationship with your vendors. Like
that's right.
And like business partners,
yeah.
partnerships and collaborations. That's yeah. huge.
You got to put yourself out there and make those connections, and it always leads to something good.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's, oof. I love me some good relationship conversations. So all day. Do you have people outside of like your immediate business circle that kind of pour into your community and your conversation, keep you accountable and encourage you?
Well, yeah. I mean, family first, of course. My mother's my biggest fan, sometimes a little too much.
She's so sweet.
And she's moving here, so I'm very excited for that. She's moving in March. She wants to work at the bakery, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh.
But I draw on a lot of business owners around here, especially down Main Street, that I've become friends with. And, you know, when you think that you're alone with a certain situation or, you know, subject about customers or, you know, people unhappy or, you know, with the way you do things that has to be done because of either COVID or because you're streamlining things and you've changed your policies. And I talk to them about things and they're like, oh, yes, I know, you know. And that's so reassuring to think that you're not alone, that this is what everybody goes through. And I've really gotten a thicker skin because, you know, whenever you hear criticism, you think it's you. You're doing something wrong, but a lot of 99% of the time, it's just whatever's going on in that person's life that's not working for them. You can't take it personally. So everything's a matter of taste and opinion, and so
and what mood they were when yeah. they walked into your bakery.
Uh-huh. It's so true. It's just I'm like, really? So it's not really the shade of pink that you're upset about. It's, you know, the fact that, you know, the party had to get canned, you know, I don't know, just whatever's going on in their life. So I used to take things so personally, but the more I talk to my other fellow business owners, the more I realize you can't do that because you can't make everybody happy. Mm. And why would you want to anyway, you know?
Yeah, they're not your ideal customer no. if they can't be pleased.
That's right. There's plenty of other bakeries to go to.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. That's a hard learning lesson. Did it take like something to
yeah.
break the camel's back, as mm-hmm. they like to say, to get you there, or just over yeah. time?
yeah, it finally was. I don't know. It just kind of, yeah, it's just over time, because I used to lose sleep about things, and now I can just let it go because it's something I just can't control. You know, you can't be perfect all the time. It's just not possible. And it's not even perfection, but you just can't, you know, read people's minds sometimes all the time. You know, with cake, it's a very subjective thing where if you think it looks good and somebody else doesn't think it looks good, that's your opinion. It's not really a factual thing. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, just do what you want. I trust you. And then it's not the picture that they had in their head, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not what they were expecting. And so that's where people can get, you know, testy with us.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been tears, a lot of the girls, you know, because they're it's really an art form. And if somebody says your art looks terrible, of course you're going to take that personally and cry. And you know, it's one thing if you say, I don't really like it that much. It's another thing that people come in and are just plain rude and mm-hmm. disrespectful. And so.
Where do you swoop in as a leader to kind of be that middleman, like taking care of the customer and, hey, are you okay? Like, you're going to get through. Like,
yeah, it's hard because I'm not going to take that.
Mama Bear
comes out. Those are my girls. You know, they're like, half of them are half my age. And even though we act like we're sisters, really, you know, I'm kind of mama to a lot of them. And so it's the same as what you do for your kids.
Yeah.
So,
and your employees. And like you said, you've had hardly any turnover besides when some of them go to college.
Yeah,
so I think that's a lesson learned.
Yeah.
They know that you have their back.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Not many employees can say that, which is interesting.
Yeah. I know. I can't give them the world. We don't have full benefits. We don't have, 401ks and all that stuff, but they can come to work and be happy and safe and enjoy what they do and enjoy who they work with and take home all the dessert they want. There's some fringe benefits.
Yeah. Who needs a 401k? I got brownies for life.
Exactly.
Well, some people on the other end that have all those things show up to work and they have horrible leadership or hate their job or go home crying or don't sleep at night. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you were to pick one for quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I'd go.
Work for a small business. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that it'll come one day, but we're only in year four, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing for brick and mortar, but you've been doing this for so long.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into it.
I was in my junior year of college and I didn't want to go back after summer. I did not know what I was going to do. I wasn't happy again. I wasn't doing well at it because I wasn't happy. And I had a long talk with my mom on the phone. And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I think I want to go bake. I think I want to cook for a living. And she's like, well, then go cook. And I was like, well, I didn't know that was an option. I thought I had to go to college and get a job in business. I just picked one out of the hat, So she said, well, do me a favor and just take some classes at the junior college first before you,
sign your life away.
Yeah. So of course, I do really well. I get all A's and I loved it every minute of it. So we signed up for a culinary school in San Francisco, and I went off to school and graduated Dean's List. And it just went to show that, if you do what you love, you do well at it. And so then I left college and got a job at the Ritz-Carlton, did the hotel life there, and wasn't enjoying that. Like I said, there are a lot of mean bosses and tyrants and... Then I found this bakery in California where we lived, and it was everything I wanted. It was all her products just looked like something I would want to make. So I was insistent on working there, and I got the job, and I worked there for 5 years and married my husband, who was in the Marine Corps, and really just kind of, after I had my first baby, I left. I thought I was going to be able to leave him and go back to work, but I couldn't leave that little baby. So I stayed home with him, and we did the military life of moving around every 3 years. And I'd make cakes still, cakes and cookies out of the house. And everywhere we'd went, I was pretty successful. I was pretty busy. So we had my daughter, too, and that poor girl never had a sleep schedule because I was yanking her out of naps because we had to go deliver this or go take a wedding cake or, so she was just like my little helper. And so it wasn't until my husband retired from the Marine Corps, we moved to Franklin, and then I was able to, really get serious about owning a bakery, and because I could never do that before. It just wasn't possible. And that was always the end goal. So I had to wait for my husband to kind of fulfill his life dreams and until I could fulfill mine. So as soon as we got here, he was like, all right, find yourself a bakery.
Oh,
let's do
man.
This. Yeah. We found our little spot after I had lost it at first. The spot got rented. And when I had my eye on it, and I called on it and they were like, oh, somebody just signed the lease. And I was devastated because I had looked at all the new construction. I'd looked at, you know, older spaces, but everything was so expensive. And
compared to San Francisco?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Just anywhere commercial
just seemed like so impossible because, you know, from going from working from your house with no overhead to
all of the overhead.
Yes. It was just daunting. It was an impossible dream to me. I didn't know how we would do that. But then a month went by and I would drive past that location and I'm like, nothing is happening. What is going on? You know, I would think by then people would be moving in and nothing. And every day I'd drive by and I'm like, if they only went with me, somebody would already be in there. And then I get this phone call from Holly down at the Spice store. And she said, Helena, those people are looking for you. They lost your number. Their deal, it fell through, you know. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. So I called my husband and I was like, I don't care. Because he's the Mr. Logical, I'm the dreamer. And he's like, now we got to look at it. We got to look over that lease. I was like, I'm signing the lease. I don't care what it says or how I need to do it. I'm just signing it. And the lease was literally like one page. They're great people and very trustworthy. And it was just like, just give a 60-day notice. And that's the lease. I know, it was amazing. Even our realtor looked at it. He's like, well, I don't know why you wouldn't sign this lease. This is amazing. So there was like no down payment, no first or last. I know, it was awesome.
What a blessing.
Yeah, really was for me. So we started small and we quickly, I got my first employee on my first day of work. She was real cute. My mom was like, hey, you're cute. You want to work the counter? She stayed with me for the first couple of years. And every time I needed somebody, they showed up, which was really weird, which is kind of what I do in life. I just kind of wait for the little whispers and people come when you need them, you know, like you did.
Is that like a personality fit that you kind are of. Like mm-hmm. more gauging or mm-hmm. do you read their resumes with
not
your
really.
Like rebel mentality? It's no. like, show me what you can do and then we'll talk.
I'm such a pushover, but I need to have that. Like, I like you, you like me. Okay. We're on the same page. I can mm-hmm. train anybody. I mean, I've trained my son to make, you know, our big batch of cookies. I've trained my daughter to decorate cookies. I can train anybody to do the stuff. You know, decorating cakes, not so much. I need somebody. But as far as doing recipes, you know, it's just like doing recipes at home. You just, you know.
Follow the
times
recipe.
Times 30. You know?
Yeah. Easier just said than done.
Yeah. And a lot of my girls had no experience and now are rock stars. So I only have one other girl who's gone to school for culinary. Or one dropped out to work for us full time, but
nice. So was that your first space? And then you said you quickly outgrew it. And tell me about the season that you just went through, because this is an exciting time.
Yes. So, in February, I had my feelers out looking for another space because we knew the owners were going to sell the building that we were in. And they actually offered it to us to buy, but it is huge. I mean, the space is like, you know, 5,000-6,000 square feet and in the millions, you know. And I had an investor, but it just seemed too much, like, for me to be a bakery owner and a property owner. I didn't even want that, you know. So we kind of let that go. And I had my feelers out to find another space. But, you know, again, everything's very expensive in downtown Franklin. But this is where I wasn't moving out of Franklin. And I didn't want to be even out of downtown Franklin. This was where Triple Crown's home was. So I didn't want to move it. And so January, February, Leonora Green came into the bakery, and her father had just passed away, who was John M. Green, who owned John Green Realty and Insurance. It's one of the oldest businesses in downtown Franklin. He had passed away, and he lived into his 90s, and he was a great man. And she was real hesitant on, leasing out the property, but she knew it had to be done. And she came to me and she said, "Elena, I see your bakery in our location." And I was like, "I do too." So yet another person coming into my life. Got to listen to the whisper, and I just took it as a sign again, And while it is a huge jump in rent and all that comes with it, I knew that space wouldn't let us down, because it's one block off of Main Street, and it's what I always wanted for the business that I didn't get the first time around. I wanted the old house. I wanted the porch. I wanted to be right off Main Street. And sometimes you just got to wait a little bit to get what you really want, Mm-hmm. You got to go through those, through the trials of working out of a really small space. Cause then now we really appreciate what we have now. So
you're more grateful for the opportunity.
I mean, it's not even the biggest space, but to us, it's the Taj Mahal, It's like, look at me. I can walk up and down, not hit anybody. And
full 6-foot radius. Yeah. Wow, what a gift.
We have two refrigerators, not just one,
That's that kind awesome. Of thing.
We're not jamming everything into one little place. So, yeah, you always got to struggle before you get what you want.
So if it comes too easy, it almost feels like you're waiting for the shoe to drop sometimes.
Yeah.
But I love that you went through the beginning, and I wouldn't even call it hardships. It was just like you started, you have to start somewhere.
Start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. That's my mantras. We didn't take out a single loan for that either.
Wow.
We had just saved. My husband had gotten a really good job for Shell when he got out of the Marine Corps. And the pay was just stupid. So we just, started putting it aside and saving. That job ended, but it got us to where we wanted to be. Mm. Everything just kind of works out. I'm done worrying because worrying gets you nowhere. And everything always just kind of works out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the process was in the end, it's always like, okay, we got through that. Yeah.
Made through the storm.
Baby steps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, take baby steps or else it's too daunting.
That's great advice mm-hmm. for the business owners that are listening and are maybe in the middle of that season. Do you have any more advice for someone that's unsure of what their next move is or bit off too much that they chew? I loved your pun there, considering your bakery. You probably have all the puns and the buns.
Well, I never bite off more than I can chew. I'm always like, I go the cheap route. I'm El Cheapo. I mean, I'm not into buying like the best, the newest, the most expensive. I could have imported a Italian, oven and spent $30,000 on an oven, but I'm like, what's the cheapest they got on Webster? Yeah, we can bake out of that. Because it's not the oven that bakes it. It's the baker that bakes it. So I can work with anything.
Mm.
I used to work out of my house oven. I can work out of, and a lot of our equipment was used. I will go to the liquidations or the auction house we've bought things from. We're big do-it-yourselfers. The whole bakery was, I have painted every square inch of that bakery. I'm not a good person that hires people. I'm like let's just do it ourselves.
Yep.
Save the money, spend it elsewhere.
roll up your sleeves and mm-hmm. especially with stuff like painting, it's like that's sometimes therapeutic. Like, just give me something to do with my hands yeah. and not my normal grind.
Right.
Absolutely. When it comes to accounting, I'm like, nope, someone else do this. Like, I can't do this yeah. here.
I'm not doing our taxes, yeah. but I know my limits.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's really encouraging for maybe business owners that are just getting started to not have to have the newest, biggest,
no,
most tech thing. Like, no. get what you can within your means mm-hmm. and see if it works.
Yeah.
Test the business.
Well, and especially in downtown Franklin, I feel like the old character is what this place, why it's so charming. So why would you build something like fresh and modern and, you know,
yeah,
it's the old world charm. And so that's, that's why I think a lot of people loved the bakery before. And that's why a lot of the same characteristics that we had over off Columbia Avenue is what I brought over to this bakery. Like, I brought the same wallpaper over because I still wanted to have the same feel and the old dishes and the, you know, I call it the grandma chic look, you know, where it's just like a bunch of knickknacks and paddywhacks all over.
Oh, man. So,
yeah.
But I love that too.
You know, it feels like a home instead of a business.
Yeah. You create that cozy environment.
Yeah. People want to come back.
I remember before you went into your first brick and mortar, we were talking about, because you already had your name and your logo and everything. Mm-hmm. So we just helped flesh out colors and mm-hmm. get your website up yeah. and do some print work. And it was so fun being able to like walk with you in that season of like, well, what are you picturing on the walls? And you're like, I want to put plates mm-hmm. on the walls. And I was like, what? Like, and I had never even heard of that before.
Really?
And now I can't even imagine not having plates on your walls.
I think because my grandma used to put plates on her walls. And it's just like a cheap way to decorate, you know? And every single plate comes from Goodwill or, antique mall, or just because I thought that it was really pretty or cute or cool. And now all the pictures in our tea room are either family members of my team or, you know, with a wedding cake. So we have lots of black and white photos of brides and grooms with their wedding cake because we thought, well, we do so many weddings and we do bridal consultations and stuff. So I thought, well, you know how pretty it is that just a bride and groom and their wedding cake throughout the year. So a lot of customers have brought in their relatives. And I do like the older ones. So I kind of tell people, stick with your grandmas and your great grandmas yeah. and stuff. but a lot of people have surprised their grandma with putting, you know, giving me their wedding picture, and I put up the wall, and then they have their grandma come in for tea. Just yesterday, one woman has her picture up there and her husband didn't know it. And so they were in there having tea. And then all of a sudden you hear like a bunch of commotion and, laughing. And so my counter girl goes over there and she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, it was so funny because he didn't know he was like sitting right next to his picture, and he looks over on the wall and he sees their wedding picture. And he was like, what in the world? Oh, man. Yeah. So it's really cute. And that's another cheap way to fill your wall, you know, have people bring in stuff.
Literally.
Yeah.
But you're inviting your customers into your business's story. Like, exactly. They're so intertwined that
that's what
you
wanted.
Include them, mm-hmm. which is so mm-hmm. different. And that's the yeah. heart that makes someone choose your bakery over someone else's right. too, besides your delicious cakes and cookies, but everything else too. I mean, that's, you don't see that.
Well, and if you look back at, like, you know, places that you remember as being comfy and cozy, it's always something that's really, like, eclectic, and there's just things all over. It's not stark white walls and, you know, modern paintings and stuff. It's, that's what the vibe I wanted to go for.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently my daughter, who's 14, she's like, oh, that stuff is so in right now. I'm like, great.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Did you know you were so trendy?
I did. Guess all good things come back around.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. The classics. Absolutely.
I forget what they call it. There's a certain name for it these days that the kids call it, but I can't remember.
I love that. And I think, too, like, with how you've applied your, like, you took a totally different building and were able to create the same seamless customer mm-hmm. experience and elevate it yeah. in a new space by, like, including some of the same decorations. Yeah. And
we just brought everything over. We didn't really add anything besides some more furniture for, you know, the sitting room.
Yeah.
But brought the same cases, brought this, you know, built the counter the same. With the same materials, because my husband kept reiterating that with me. He's like, people like it the way it is. People don't like change a lot, you know? And if they like something, they want it to still be like that. Mm-hmm. It's so many times these, you know, when places remodel or get bigger and they change everything, it doesn't have that same feeling and people aren't going to go.
Mm-hmm. You're creating that safe space for them
yeah.
in a new area.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the fact that everything you guys do is thoughtful and intentional with how you interact mm-hmm. and how you
yep.
plan things out.
Yeah.
And I think that we should take notes from you.
Aww.
Like, I think that is
you're
just
so sweet.
The best way to run businesses, because if you're not thinking about your customers and you're not thinking about your employees, who are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Profit?
Yeah.
It's yeah. you pick one.
No, you can't. You can't even focus on that, because one day you're up and the next day you're down. It just doesn't, you never know. You never know what the day's going to bring.
Yeah.
I used to worry like by the hour, you know, it's like nobody's coming, nobody's coming, nobody's coming. And then by the end of the day, you're sold out. It's like, well, why did I worry those first 3 hours? You know, it's no sense. And there's no sense of even going day by day. It's really a month by month. You can't look at the numbers until you look at the end of the month, because it'll drive you insane.
Yeah.
Because you write checks one day, you know, for this, that, and everything, and then you have nothing left in the bank account. And then, you know, then by the end of the month, you're back on track. So
feast and famine.
It is total feast and famine. But,
so do you just choose not to look at it until then, or do you just have a specific day that you plan to do your
books? Well, I definitely make sure we have enough money in the yeah. bank account.
I mean, it's there.
Yeah. yeah. But I can't get upset. I can't, like, make it ruin my life, you know, if we were down one day, because the next day will be double, you know. You got to roll with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look back on the year and you're like, we made what? We made that much money? Where is it? You know, it shocks you
yeah.
how much you make gross, you know, but then you're like, you know, we're not rich, but look, we supported 7 people's lives, you know, and livelihoods. That's amazing. Sometimes that boggles me that, like, you know, 7-8 people depend on us for their livelihood, their rent, their utilities and food. And that's the award, you know, at the end. That's the prize, that you can sustain life for yourself and for other people. That makes it all worth it. And then have a little extra in the bank.
Yeah.
Helps, you know.
Oh, man.
To pay yourself first is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I need to give myself a raise, but
your boss is just so mean.
Well, I always forget that I probably should give myself a raise, because sometimes I'm like, wait a second. She makes more than I do. You know, one of my employees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Step back. Check that out.
Yeah.
Well, I know you talked a little bit of just, like, how you got started and your passion for your people, which is huge. But what type of legacy do you want to leave?
Oh, that's heavy.
Or what's your vision for your business?
Oh, my vision? Well, I mean, I'm going to work until I can't work no more. Of course, my kids want nothing to do with the bakery business.
Man.
So, you know, we'll see. I'm a fly by the seat of my pants girl. I don't like to make plans because I don't like to be disappointed. So,
tell me about that, because we're in a season right now where everyone's like, set your goals, set your intentions, do all the things, mm-hmm. like plan. What's your 5-year, 10-year? And as a business owner, if you're not naturally wired like that.
I'm not. And I don't make any plans. And this year or last year of any teaches you that you can't make plans, because who would have thought? Nobody.
No one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've always had that mentality that the second you start thinking you have it all figured out is the second it's all going to go a different way. Yeah.
So true. And even in business, that question always made my hands sweat, because I'm like, I'm just trying to love people and do the best I can today. Like, why is that not enough?
Yeah.
And so I've always struggled with goal setting in my business, because my goal in my business is to love people.
Yeah.
And to help them grow. And so I know that there's some balance in between and gray area mm-hmm. of like, have some goals or some vision I very much lean to agree with you in that,
because I'm just trying to get through the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, who has time to sit there and try to figure out where they're going to be in 10 years? Not me.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom.
And like you said, when we start to make plans, it just.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that my plans didn't pan out for where I thought it's I'd so be true. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have never thought I'd be in Nashville sitting here on a couch talking to you.
Yeah. Me neither.
Who would have thought?
No. So I'm just going to leave it up to the universe to figure that out.
Yep.
Because it's worked out so far. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I love that.
Like I said, I hate being disappointed. So why set myself up? It's like doing a New Year's resolution every year. No, I don't do those either.
2 weeks in and already not doing it. Yep.
Plus it's more fun to just, you know, my husband and I, on Sundays, you know, when we'd have the day off with the kids, we just like hop in the car. Do we know where we're going? No. We just go. We either pick north, south, east, or west, and just go find towns. And we end up having the best time on the journey. Not there's no destination. Sometimes we end up in Alabama, you know, just you never know. We find like distilleries to go try, or, you know, cute little towns we never even knew existed with little train museums, or, you know, we get ice cream at some little, you know, drugstore. So.
But if you had a destination that you knew you were going to, you'd drive past all that stuff.
So true. That's a good one, Amber.
Which is, you wouldn't even take back roads. You'd take 65 the whole way.
And you'd just be like, go, we're late. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But no, we stop and see the cows, say hello to them. Eat lunch somewhere at some greasy spoon.
Love that. I feel like COVID has really... slowed a lot of people that maybe were like hurry, hustle, grind, like keep going, and really slowed a lot of us down. Has that, have you seen that in your community, or have you felt any of that?
We're pretty chill in that respect. So we were already living that life.
Which is so great. Again, everyone take notes from the way that you live your life. I love it.
You know, we really enjoy travel, and we'd always travel at Christmas. We always go overseas at Christmas, and that hurt this year because we didn't get to do that as a family. And it's kind of the last year that our son is living under our roof, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
So we really wanted that for our family, but we'll still travel. And even though he's at college, we'll still take him. He asked me that the other day. He was like, do I still get to go on the family trips if I'm in college? Oh. I was like, of course.
You're still part of the family.
Yeah.
Oh, where's your favorite place that you guys have traveled to?
Well, Paris, of course.
Oh, what's your favorite? Like, close your eyes and, like, tell me about Paris, like, your best experience.
Paris is just everything I always wanted it to be. Like, we were supposed to go on our honeymoon, but we got married the week after 9/11. Mm. So we had to cancel our trip to Paris, our honeymoon. And it took us almost 20 years to finally get there and with two kids in tow, but we made it and it lived up to the hype. It really did. And I could just go there and not do a thing, just sit at a bistro and eat my croissant and drink my cappuccino and, you know, just be a Parisian. Just the smells and the sounds and the tastes and everything. It's everything. Mm. And I'm making my daughter take French so that someday we can go to France together, meet up when she's an adult, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And I don't know. My husband was like, do we have to go into another bakery? Because there's just like a bakery on every corner. And I would make him and them go into every one because you never know, you might miss something. But they started to all look the same. but yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. My family would say their favorite was Japan, but the food's not as tasty there.
Yeah. We can see where your passion lies here, which is fantastic.
Like they would go back to Japan in 2 seconds. I would say, drop me off in Paris. Yeah.
Yep. Along the way, just leave me there. Yeah. Come pick me back up.
I love Japan, but no, I'm a European kind of gal. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And you guys were military. And so did you travel a lot within that?
We didn't. I mean, we traveled within the states we were living in. In California, we've been up and down California's coast, station Northern California, Southern California, and Arizona, which we loved the desert. That was great. But no, we didn't get to go overseas. He did. He went to Iraq and Africa and Australia, all the continents except for Antarctica, which is where he wants to take a cruise to, so he can check that off. Like, okay.
Yeah. Again, drop me off in France.
Yeah.
You have fun in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Things you never thought you'd say.
I'm not good on boats. That's the only thing.
Yep.
And especially on those choppy Antarctica, which I'm assuming are choppy and cold.
Icebergs, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So one thing I'd really love to hear about is just with the move and switching from working from your home into a brick and mortar store. I know a lot of our listeners are either, we have all varieties of service base and product base, and to have a physical brick and mortar where you're serving people that walk in your front door.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you've learned from working from home to now running a full brick and mortar service store?
Well, I used to be pretty shy, sort of shy. Like I was.
You were shy?
I was. I never put myself out there. Like I could never get on a stage or talk in front of a group or I don't know. My husband is always the life of the party and I'm kind of like his sidekick, you know? So I was kind of, once you get to know me, I'm outgoing, but man, I am bad about like meeting new people or putting myself out there, saying the first thing, you know. As a Californian, we don't tend to talk to strangers so much.
And then you moved to the South.
And I'm always like, do you know that guy? Why is he waving at us? And, you know, my husband's like, because he's just waving. Say hi.
Such a concept.
Yeah. But now, you know, I can talk to anybody in front of anybody. I don't care anymore. Just really? Put myself out there. And I, you know, I've set up, you know, an environment in the bakery where you walk in the door and you get a big hello. Like that is my biggest pet peeve, walking into a business and not being acknowledged at all. I mean, you just end up walking right out because you feel like you don't matter in that space. So, you know, sometimes we're even too friendly. We're like, hi, hey, hi. You know, all five of us say hi to you. And they're like, hi.
Do I know you?
Okay, enough. But we try to, you know, create that super friendly, like you're very welcomed in here kind of space. So I would say just being more outgoing has really changed from me working at home in my little safe space to now I'm, you know, feel like when you're working, you feel like you're on a stage because you have to perform and you have to put on a smile, even though you're not feeling it. Or even if somebody's not giving you a bat, you just kind of, I kind of whisper into my breath, oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for asking. You know, even if they don't, you're like, yeah. Hi, how are you? Okay, I'm great too. You know?
Thank you for caring.
Thanks for asking. Oh. But and just having, I've become more, like I said, you know, I don't let things affect me so much. So I'm just kind of more content all the time because I just let it roll. Let it roll off your back. It's not worth it. It's not worth taking home with you to your kids and your husband or significant other.
Yeah. Does it help now that you're in a physical space? So when you do drive home, yes. It's there instead of like seeping into your mixed personal life. And
I used to think like it'd be so awesome to work from home because you're just at home and how relaxing would that be? But when I would work out of the house, it's 10 times harder. And it's 10 times harder to be a stay-at-home mom like I was. And then to have a business on top of it, which was, you know, I'd wait till the kids go to bed at 8 or 9 p.m. And then I would start baking till 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that was horrible. I tip my hat to people who work out of the house because it's so much easier to just, you know, sometimes we're at the bakery late, you know, and, you know, 12, 14 hours on our feet, but I can go home and not have to worry about it until 7 a.m. the next morning.
So true.
So, yeah, it's everything to have a space for your business and not your house.
And considering that yours was your kitchen.
Yes.
That's like the communal, that's where everyone gathers. So work is always in the center of your family time. It probably felt like.
I always had doors on my kitchen so that to keep out the dogs or the kids. But it's so hard when they're like, Mama, I'm hungry. You know, they're on the other side of the door and you're like, you know, you can't. It's just, it was impossible. It was hard. Yeah.
It sounds like you're in the best situation that you could ever be in, which is exciting to see you grow so much.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be the boss because you can decide everything the way you want it, you know. Like we closed down between Christmas and New Year, and while we got a lot of slack from people like, but I need a cake, you know, on the 30th. And I was like, I'm sorry. You know, we have to do this for us. You know, it's not, we can't always give. We have to take a week for us too.
Yep. So absolutely.
That's where you got to set up those boundaries and be like, you know, I'm sorry you're disappointed in us, but.
Yeah, we only have so much to give. Yeah,
exactly.
That's huge. And for a bakery to shut down in between those, in the holiday season.
Well, a lot of businesses are doing that. Either during Christmas, New Year, or right after New Year, they're shutting down for a week, taking the vacation that they desperately need. Because even if the business was still open, I'd get 500 phone calls a day, even if I took that time off for myself. Yeah, and they're still ordering, and there's still deliveries, and, you know, we're out of this, we're out of that. You know, somebody's got to run to the store, somebody's got to go get change, you know, so it's just nonstop. It's not as easy. It's not as seamless as it looks, you know. There's a lot of running around behind the scenes.
No kidding.
So, you know, not everything can be delivered to you, and not everything is, you know, it's just everything comes from everywhere. So you have to make sure it's all there. And if it's not, somebody's got to go get it or, yeah.
Yeah, you can't take a vacation unless you shut down, which is such a bummer. But I mean, we signed up for this and we love it every other day of the year.
That's right.
And it's hard to do that. But when you know you need it for your sanity and your team is like, thank you, you know you did something right.
Well, because Christmas time is just the most stressful time of year for us. our bodies are hurting so bad, you know, and we have to just let ourselves rest.
Yeah. Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
So to kind of just close all this up and hear some, what advice do you have for business owners that are wanting to open a brick and mortar or maybe even a bakery?
So like I said, start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew because the stress will just consume you if you're in over your head. So even starting with, you know, the farmers markets are great. Starting with, if it's, you know, a product that you sell, starting with the street fairs or the, and I granted they're not really going on right now, but making sure it works, I think, is the best thing you can do for yourself. Don't come up with an idea and say, it's going to sell great, you know, and then signing a 5-year lease, you know, that you can't get out of and taking out that loan and buying all the brand new stuff. And it's just, you're just going to set yourself up for
a
lot of stress and yeah, that's not going to be fun. So, and so many restaurants fail the first year, second year. So make sure it works first. Don't get in over your head. Get a small space. You know, use your resources. If you know somebody who paints, you know, if you know somebody who can do plumbing, I don't know, but whatever your friends and family can help you with, use them first before you, you know, make bills for yourself and just have fun. Hire people that you know at first. They'd love to help. So many people offered to help, but I didn't let them, you know, because I thought maybe it was imposing on them or, but just take the help where you can. And I don't know. It's a roller coaster. You got to have thick skin for it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
for sure.
But you're still smiling as you're saying all of this.
Oh, yeah.
So it's clearly the best roller coaster.
It is. It really is. It's so rewarding in the end. Sometimes, you know, during Christmas time, there was a line out the door and around the corner, like down the sidewalk. And it was raining, so people were standing there in the rain. And one of my girls, like, grabs me, and she shakes me, and she's like, can you believe this? And I was like, it's working! It's working! So, like, when you see people, like, waiting in line in the rain for your product, that's a big, like, oh my gosh, what in the world? This is all for me, you know, that kind of thing. It's amazing. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So many more exciting things to come and day by day, but I can't wait to continue to watch you grow.
Oh, so thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners find you online?
Oh, at our website at www.triplecrownbakery.com or Instagram, Triple Crown Bakery, Facebook, Triple Crown Bakery. Email us at info@triplecrownbakery.com. You know, pretty much if you Google Triple Crown Bakery, you're going to find us.
Oh, yeah. And your new location is where?
118 4th Avenue North. And we're right off of Main Street, downtown Franklin.
Absolutely.
We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Sundays, 10 to 4. Closed Monday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if you guys are in the area, I highly recommend trying all things sweets.
And we're doing sandwiches now, so that's fun.
Oh, too. Man. Yeah. In your tea room?
And we have tea. We'll do high tea once COVID kind of lifts on the restrictions. Hopefully soon hopefully we might do a Valentine's tea of sorts. We'll see. Trying to figure that out.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Welcome.
This was such a gift, and I love catching up with you as always.
Me too.
So
thank
fun.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. I absolutely love putting together this content for you each week. If you're loving the show, I'd really love to hear from you.
head on over to the podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and I'd love to know how you saw pieces of your heart reflected in today's episode. Your words might just be what the next person needs to tune in and turn their passion into purpose.